The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus and objected, "Why do the disciples of John and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he does, its fullness pulls away the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh wineskins." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. A little tiny thought for you here this morning, a little tiny image for you this morning. Okay, imagine that your life is like the role of a single musician in a symphony orchestra. You know how it is in a symphony orchestra. There's many different instruments. Some are soft and gentle, others are powerful and arresting. All of them are good, all of them are beautiful, but none is anything like near as good alone as they're meant to sound together. Imagine further that God's will for your life is like your sheet music. You know how it is with sheet music. Every single mark is there for a reason. Every note, every key signature, every pause, it's all there for a reason. And in a symphony, every musician has his entrance and his pause and his exit and his role to play. And if they all do as they're meant to do, what emerges is something beautiful that arises up out of the mind of a great artist. Okay, now imagine further that one single musician decides he's not gonna play the music that's written in front of him. What would happen if even one single musician deliberately played a sour note? Well, the entire artistry would be scarred. And that's my best little image for you for why we don't ever want to commit even one deliberate sin. Because what's at stake is not a piece of music or a sound or an artistry. What's at stake are lives and hearts and minds and souls, starting with your own. Starting with your own. Now, with that as a background, take a look at what we heard in the first reading, okay, from the book of the prophet Samuel. Story of the prophet Samuel rebuking King Saul because he disobeyed his sheet music, so to speak. He didn't do what God had told him to do. Saul was supposed to defeat the Amalekites and put them under the ban. Under the ban. That's a phrase that needs explaining. Okay, in Hebrew there's a word kerem, and that's the word for being placed under the ban. And what that meant was that everything of a foreign army was supposed to be wiped out. When Israel entered into the land of Canaan, there were seven kingdoms that they had to conquer. Every single time they conquered a kingdom, God commanded them to put them under the ban. And that meant there was going to be no spoils, no booty, no gold, no profit from those who tried to destroy God's people. So King Saul defeats the Amalekites in battle, and he puts 90% of the Amalekites under the ban. He does 90% of God's will. He keeps some of the best cattle and some of the best sheep, and he spares the life of the king because, why kill perfectly good cattle? Certainly Saul knows better than God, doesn't he? Okay. Question we want to ask ourselves is, in what way in your life are you and I acting like King Saul acted in the first reading? Where is it that you think you know better than God? Where is it that you're loving God by fractions, doing 90% of what God asks of you? What would happen in a symphony orchestra if the musicians followed 90% of the music 90% of the time? We don't want to mess around with repentance. Sin is very, very serious. When we die, our place in eternity is fixed forever. It's very, very serious, the days in which we have here on this earth. We don't want to mess around with sin. We want to put the ban on sin, right? And you might have your weaknesses, but that doesn't excuse deliberately doing what we know to be wrong. You know, the saint that we celebrate today, Saint Sebastian, I love the story of Saint Sebastian because it's a great example of this wholehearted love of God and obedience. Saint Sebastian was a soldier in the Roman army, secretly a Christian, secretly taking pity on Christians who had been imprisoned and were awaiting their own execution, awaiting their own martyrdom. Sebastian would help them until one day Sebastian was ratted out. He was discovered as being a Christian, and they tried to execute Sebastian. They tried to shoot him with arrows. And if you ever see an image of Saint Sebastian, that's the guy who's punctuated with a bunch of arrows, but he didn't die from all his arrow wounds. Somehow he recovered. He got better. And you know what he did as soon as he got better? He went right back to doing what he was doing before. I mean, because it was God's will, right? I mean, you talk about 100%. That's the spirit of the martyrs. That's the spirit of the saints. That's the spirit that we want to have as well. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to have that saint spirit, same spirit, to love God, not in fractions, but with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. Saint Sebastian, pray for us.